Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Not bad. Here at Neighbors of Hope, our men's ministry program, one of our guests has selected a scripture that we'd like to reflect on, and that particular scripture comes from the Apostle John's first letter, chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 18 through, 22?
22.
Really kind of the theme is, Mason, you want to talk about Antichrist and those type of things. So.
Being not aligned, it sounds a lot harsher than it, is. Because we've been talking a lot about John's letters lately in our Bible studies during the week. So, and I kind of almost wanted to dispel the idea, because our friend Jeff comes and talks to us a lot about it, and the way he puts it is really nice, where he told us that it's the unalignment, if you're not, you know, aligning with the ideals that Jesus brought you, or you're not aligned with Christ, as he would put it.
Okay, so let's. I'll go ahead and I'll read the scripture, and then we'll jump into that conversation. Okay. So from 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, children, it is the last hour. As you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But by going out, they made it plain that none of them belongs to us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and all of you have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and you know that no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we were talking a lot about exactly that, we were talking about how there's time still to anoint for being, as John would put it, an antichrist. And then we also talked a lot about how the concept of Christ was kind of misconstrued. And then we discussed here with like idolatry, where we've idolized Christ, so that we've gone so far as to be the Antichrist, where it was a heeding. It wasn't like he wasn't persecuting people with it. He was saying, "You're the anti. You know, you should. I'm letting you know as nicely as I can that you should, you know, align yourself with the law and the commandments and stuff like that." And then where people have taken it to modern day, they've idolized Christ, where they've kind of, it's become its own idea of Christ, where we've taken the idea of Christ and we've turned it into like a label, and that was greatly misconstrued. So I think our friend Jeff here has been talking about this a lot, because the coronavirus, you know, it's not the coronavirus, it's you know, the coronavirus is here. You know, you shouldn't be making coronavirus famous. You should be making coronavirus known. And I think that Jeff's been talking to us a lot about, you know, the idea of kind of shifting away from that label and following the commandments, and it sounds harsh because you can't go back and chop time backwards. You have to go back to what you know is going to be good for you. You need to realize what you've done and take on that guilt and feel that. And we were talking a lot about feeling and how you need to feel the a lot of people would call it idea, or in the label sense they call it an idea, but you need to think about the initial feeling or that core feeling that you know hurts you, and take that and not become more of an antichrist to the point where you're not even in the same ballpark as Jesus or Christ.
So I like the idea that you were sharing about labels.
Yeah.
I mean, we can look into our culture. Here we are in the 21st century, and there's all kinds of labels.
Yeah.
For all kinds of things. And I like your analogy with what the Apostle John's trying to do here, that sometimes we can label ourselves as Christian, but if we were to look at what John said earlier in chapter 2, look, if the truth's not in you, if you're not following, if you're not, well, John would use language, if you're not abiding in him, right? If you're not in partnership with him and his way and his desire, right, his vision, then the truth's not in you. Specifically,
yeah,
John's
with the
speaking.
Label.
So you can label your, you know, we can all label ourselves with various things, and we do a good job of labeling all kinds of other people too.
Yeah.
Which creates all of the context that's very similar in the 21st century that John's really trying to combat with these people who left us in that first century. Those would have been, though, in a sense, identified as what we call Gnostics.
Yeah.
Who started, with Donatism, the reducing.
Instead of being the Antichrist, you've now created Balfour, a monster.
They started tweaking some of this, and it was very dualistic. You know, it's spirit versus matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the good versus evil, all these type of things, to where they couldn't believe that something is pure as the spirit of God, right? That God's self, as pure spirit, could dwell in something as nasty and messy and sinful as carnal flesh.
Yeah.
But if we went to John's gospel in that first chapter, he says, look, the word became flesh. I mean, that's his statement against these type of things.
And that's his.
So people who came to know Christ,
yes,
but are now twisting,
yes,
their concept of Christ,
yes,
he says, look at that. They're not one of us anyways. They are, in a sense, antichrist because they came and they heard the truth,
yep,
right? But they didn't abide in it.
They stole it.
They altered it.
In my
which means, right, when you start altering truth, there's isn't truth anymore. I mean, truth is truth everywhere, or else it's not truth.
Yeah.
Right?
And he knew that, and he wouldn't have been, and he's saying, I wouldn't be saying this stuff unless I believed. Unless I believed that I was aligned with myself, with my surroundings, and with the people that I've talked to. Yeah.
And so if we were to take John in his gospel, right, that long sermon Jesus gives for four chapters, the night he's betrayed, chapters 13 through 17, and he's praying for his disciples, you know, those who abide in me, my Father and I abide in them.
Yeah.
It's this partnership. It's the covenantal way that the divine comes with the divine's beloved, what we call the human creation, right? I mean, it's
the idea of
they unite.
Christianity. Yeah.
Right? And if you're united, then what we exemplify in our words and our deeds,
mm-hmm,
is that reality of God.
Yeah.
Right?
The realness. The limitless.
Yeah, which we call truth. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I want to take a look at, like, especially that first part, and get into some other things, but, like, the word belongs. They're not talking about belonging, like, ownership at all.
Right.
They're talking about someone choosing to belong. So if you choose to be part of something, that means you should be giving it all. And when he talks about, I think, these the Antichrist, or later on, further down, he talks more about these followers who kind of are counterfeiting. So they are taking the word, the flesh of Christ, and they're counterfeiting it to for their own well-being, to gain something from it. And then I think that's where he goes on and says that they don't belong to us because they're gonna leave. They don't fit in because they are fake. They show their true colors if you pay attention. And that's that warning I think he's telling us, is to pay attention to those who act like they belong, but deep down they don't have the heart. Their heart is not into it. And so they pretend. They're actors, I guess you'd want to say in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they act to gain something from it. The gain, it's financial gain. It's the gain, your morality as a person, you know, like they want to take from you. And so, and they'll just leave. Whenever they're done with it, or whenever they feel like they can't gain anything more, they will leave. And I think he's warning us to watch out, because you know deep down you know what you should be feeling. Because the love is within you. And so if you know that love, you know what that love feels like, you can identify somebody that's counterfeit.
So, all right, and so John says, you know, look, if you have the truth, you're going to obey his commandment.
Yeah.
Which is what? Love God, love neighbor. Mm-hmm. And so if you know the truth, and the truth, as you're saying, is in you, that ought to be made evident.
Yeah.
Right? By expressions of compassion and solidarity with the suffering and all those type of things that are expression of willing the good of the other as well as God.
Yeah. And love has no borders.
If you're not doing that, then you can rightly argue going, huh, is it really in you?
Yeah.
And if it's not, then obviously you're not going to be a part of us.
Yeah.
And if you're not a part of us and it's not in you, you are anti Christ.
Because I think we talk about this idea of God's love. It's our love, and it's amongst the messiness.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
love is
in the aisles of the division.
Yeah.
It's in the wall that divide us. We have to tear those walls down. In our world today, we have to tear those walls down to grab hold of that love and to be in community, to belong with one another, in a true fashion. And we have to choose that. We have to fight that. Or all we're doing is pretending. You can't sit here and call yourself a follower of Christ if you're not helping to break that wall down. And you're not helping to create love. You're creating more division.
It's hard to be compassionate and practice the way of the compassion of Christ. If you can't be empathetic,
yeah, if you're not willing.
If you can't see the suffering and the hurting in somebody else,
yeah.
Now I get it, particularly here in America. I mean, right, we're all so burdened with so many things, right? I have my own struggles and sufferings going on that can blind me to the struggles and sufferings that someone sitting across the table is going.
Yeah.
Right,
I'm just totally fine.
But never. Never. I mean, we need these gentle reminders that doesn't become an excuse.
No.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who's hanging on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about, you know, that's a bad day for this guy,
yeah.
Right? Suffering, pain, the anguish, something we can't even comprehend. And he still musters it up to have the empathy of the people at the foot of the cross who are hurting him.
Yep.
Or abandoned him, or betrayed him, or rejected him, and says, forgive them. It's a pretty good indicator on, and a nice reminder, a gentle reminder that, yeah, even though our worlds are turned upside down personally, and there are others, we can align ourselves with the truth that John's talking about and be Christ-like and not anti-Christ when I can reach out empathetically and practice the compassion of Christ to others.
Yep.
I think about, too, you know, like when we're all young children, you know, and our flesh is going to do what it wants to do. You know, we all have our selfish desires. But even as a young child, you get to be 3 or 4, and you know the difference between right and wrong. You know, if you hit your brother or sister and they start crying, you know that's wrong. I mean, you can't say that, you know, you can't separate the two, and you can't say that there's still not love in that person. And because they hit their brother, that they're just full of hate and evil. You know, I think you got to be able to, I mean, it's just instilled in us that, you know, there's a spirit that lives with the flesh.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, we kind of end on this. John says, you know, the Antichrist is the one who denies the Father and the Son. Well, let's proclaim the Father and Son and that power and that presence in our very lives. As you're saying, John, despite our own shortcomings, that is precisely what we need to cling to, never release, and fully abide in. It is grace.
The way.
All right, gentlemen, very good. Thank you for all of your input and for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.